8 weeks in, is it all she wrote? Follow the money trail of the AAF, the New Orleans Pelicans. You have one mission in mind. Transform your team. Go for the big Z in Durham, North Carolina. Figure out a way. Coaching hires in the SEC, still day 26 of the Will Wade suspension. No news coming out of Tiger Town. Plus, we've got baseball. The Lions taking on the Cajuns. The Tigers hosting the Grambling Tigers. All these stories and more today, Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019.
Springer drills this one deep to left center field and sends back Gallo looking up. See you later! Leadoff home run for George Springer. And the Astros are up 1-0. Springer with his second of the year.
The one pitch.
Hit deep to left. Forget about it. Ronald Acuna with his home run to left, his first of the season. Jumps on the offering from Hendricks and rides it out of here, and it's 5-0 Braves.
Zone defense, maybe, can't tell. Donovan drives to the window. Reverse side layup up and in. Came up the left, showed it with the left hand, wrapped it around with the right, and put it up the window and in.
Good afternoon. How are you? Great to be with you. Hope everything's going great on a beautiful Chamber of Commerce Tuesday, April the 2nd, the year 2019. My main man, CD, back in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, and Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It is great to be with you. Busy day planned for you and yours. Shout out to Tremont Waters, honorable mention All-American on the Associated Press All-American teams that were announced today. And no surprise that the dynamic duo of Duke, Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett led the way, becoming the second freshman teammates to make the first team in the same season. The other freshman teammates to do that were Kentucky's DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall. Pretty good NBA careers they had. But they were joined by Tennessee's Grant Williams, Michigan State's Cassius Winston, and Ja Morant of Murray State. So congratulations to Tremont Waters for becoming the honorable mention All-American. And still, day 26 of the Will Wade suspension list and no word out there. I mentioned Zion Williamson. Look, my Pelicans need to do everything they can somehow, some way, to figure out a way to get Zion Williamson. If anyone can reverse the fortunes of New Orleans' struggling NBA franchise, it is Zion. If the Pelicans can use Anthony Davis to somehow acquire Williamson in a trade, it would be a transcendent moment in New Orleans sports. I really believe that. His Q factor is through the roof. Through the roof. Ticket prices, wherever he goes, skyrockets. He's the biggest thing since LeBron. Forget about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown or Brandon Ingram. They're all up-and-coming NBA stars. But Zion, he's a one-namer already. He's the supernova. He is. Whatever and whoever the Pelicans hire to run their basketball operations in the weeks ahead, man, that person needs to do a full court press on on whatever team lands the number one overall pick in the NBA draft and get into trade talks with them immediately. Immediately. And they need to do it May 14th, the night of the draft lottery. It may not be, it may not happen. The three teams likely to win the lottery for the number one overall pick, the Suns, the Knicks, and the Cavaliers, they've got to be intrigued by what the Zion effect would do for their franchise. But the Pelicans have to try. They cannot afford not to. He would be this era's Pistol Pete. He would capture the interest of the casual sports fan and make the Pelicans relevant, not only in the city, but around the world. Around the world. Davis is one of the NBA's five best talents. Zion will be one of the five biggest stars the minute he steps on the court. And the Pelicans need a star. Davis is talented. Jrue Holiday is talented. David West was talented. Chris Paul was talented. But none of them move the needle the way Zion does or Zion will. He's just not any kind of player, man. He's a freak. He's a transcendent talent. 6'7", 285. A thunder dunking machine. Heck, he's got the one name that you give to the sport's all-time greats like Tiger Woods, LeBron James, or Lionel Messi. He's got more than 3 million followers on Instagram, and he's going to sign the largest shoe contract in sports history very, very soon. Man, he arrived at Duke with unbelievable expectations, and he exceeded them. The only freshman ever to win ACC Player of the Year and ACC Tournament MVP. He's the third freshman in college basketball history to record 500 points, 50 steals, and 50 block shots in a season. The other two? Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant. Hitch your wagon to this superstar. He's got the personality. He's got a likable nature. He's actually made Duke the arch villain of every college basketball fan out there other than the Dukies themselves likable. He's made them likable. Man. He's something. Hitch your wagon to the Zion star. As Mike Krzyzewski said of Williamson over the weekend, he's really got everything. This is not a phony guy. It's been an honor for me to be with him on this journey. It's been an ugly divorce with Anthony Davis, and the Pelican fans need someone to believe in and someone to trust again. Pelican fans, and they need somebody to love, and there's a lot to love about Zion Williamson. Somehow, some way, the Pelicans need to bring Zion to New Orleans. Plain and simple. So keep your fingers crossed. Let's roll the dice. Let's get the right GM. And let's giddy up and go. The Z Factor. Man, he's a one-namer already. That's the solution to the Pels. Forget about the Lakers. Forget about the Celtics. Let's go for Zion. And let's let it roll. You'll watch. I'll watch. I'll go. You'll go. That's what New Orleans needs. Yes, indeed. All right, let me tell you what's happening on the show today. The Raging Cajuns getting ready to host Southeastern Louisiana in baseball. Cajuns struggling, man. Injuries, just struggling. The Southeastern's coming into town ready to roll. We'll get a report on the Lions from Damon Sunday. My good friend David Ching is a graduate of Auburn. He covered LSU during the Les Miles trials and tribulations. Now he's up at Purdue working for the Boilermakers. We'll talk about the run Auburn made, the unbelievable game between Virginia and Purdue, and how does this Will Wade saga compare or contrast with the Les Miles saga as far as the absurdity of it all? We'll get his thoughts on that. In hour number two, Hot Topics, Lynn Rollins will join me. He is the voice of LSU baseball on the SEC Plus Network. We'll talk LSU baseball. Have they turned the corner after winning two out of three against Mississippi State. They've got five games this week. Tonight against Grambling. Tomorrow, a makeup game against South Alabama. And then the West Division leading Texas A&M Aggies come to town for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we'll deal with that. And then Vanderbilt about to hire an ex-NBA player as their head coach. We'll go to Nashville, get the latest on SEC basketball hires. Look, they're treating the SEC basketball coaches like they're doing the SEC football coaches. If you don't win in a hurry, you're gone. That tells me it's a basketball league. All that coming your way today on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Time out. We'll be back. Baseball at the Teague next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. The Lions are coming. The Lions are coming. Yes, indeed. The Southeastern Louisiana Lions are heading to Lafayette to take on the Raging Cajuns. It'll be the 9 of the next 10 contests that the Cajuns play will be at Teague Moore Field. But it's a very unusual thing because it's Southeastern tonight in Lafayette. And then tomorrow they flip-flop and the two teams play in Hammond, making up a game that was rained out earlier in the season. My good friend Damon Sundy is the associate SID. He's in charge of baseball for the Lions and a great broadcaster as well. He's kind enough to join us to give us the info on this 14-13 team that is, more importantly, 6-3 in Southland Conference play. Damon, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Jordy?
It's terrific, man. Nice to see you again. Last time I saw you was at a basketball venue. But give me the latest on the Lions and what do you anticipate tonight? This is a good rivalry, a good in-state matchup, always fun.
It is. I know I'm a little selfishly looking forward to it because I love the in-game visit from the cooking club.
Yes.
Always a nice little surprise. So, but also some good baseball. And this is two teams that over the last decade or so have been some of the best in the state of Louisiana and in the South. And it's always good to watch them going toe-to-toe because it's good quality baseball. They match up well, which makes for, interesting ball games. Right now the Lions playing well. Looks like the Raging Cajuns have kind of been a little streaky this year. Lions have been too, really. Right now they just finished off an 8-game winning streak. They had that snap Sunday.
Right.
And that's what put the Lions over 500 for the first time this year. So
yeah, you've won 8 out of 9, including in that was a 5-3 win over Oklahoma State. You swept Abilene Christian in league play. You beat South Alabama, who LSU plays tomorrow, and you win 2 out of 3 against Stephen F. Austin on the road. So what's been the turnaround of late?
Finally playing like they're capable of. It's tough to put it down and say, it's been this one thing or it's been that. It started off, pitching wasn't so doing so well, which was very surprising, but the hitters were hitting extremely well. And then it kind of flip-flopped after that and got back to the pitchers doing what they are supposed to do, throwing strikes, getting guys out, and all of a sudden the offense kind of sputtered. Finally put it together, and really that game at Oklahoma State, the Sunday game, was the first one. At the end of the game, I got on the bus after everybody had showered and looked at Coach Reiser, and I said, that's the first time all year I've sat up top and thought we actually played the way we're supposed to play.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. He's like, they quit giving away at bats. When guys got on base, even if it wasn't a base hit, they were able to move guys over. Very confident in their approach at the plate. Had the running situations, able to take advantage of them. It's just the little things that all add up. And it's kind of the way the Raging Cajuns have been playing the last couple years is very similar to the style the Lions have played over the last decade.
These midweek games are critical. You want to win them all. It certainly helps, but you don't want to sacrifice these games for the weekend when conference play comes around. So who's on the pitching mound tonight? Tell me a little bit about him.
His name is Justin Siminek. He is out of Kent, Washington, which, if memory serves me, is somewhere between Seattle and Tacoma, so pretty much suburban Seattle, I guess. And he started off, he struggled a little bit out the bullpen, and then he had a good outing. I'm trying to remember what it was. He had a good solid inning in somebody, and you could start to see that confidence build. He's had a couple of good starts in a row midweek. He's your traditional big right-hander, power fastball, good breaking ball in the mix, pretty much a prototypical power pitcher.
Gotcha.
He's going to hit low 90s, and haven't seen much of him, but what I have the last couple of weeks has been pretty good. The kind where you sit there and go, this guy's going to be a piece down the road.
Gotcha. Damon Sundy, Southeastern Louisiana baseball, kind enough to talk to us. 6:30 start at the Teague between the Raging Cajuns and Southeastern. Then they'll flip-flop tomorrow, and the Cajuns will make the trip back. Y'all could just get on the same bus and just head on down to Hammond.
Yeah,
and just put them up there and and have a grand old time. So, and that should draw a great crowd as well in Hammond as it will tonight. When at the plate, Kyle Schimpf seems to be the guy that's been leading you all season long.
He has. A veteran, you know, obviously comes from a baseball family. His brother Ryan started LSU, but he's a guy that has matured at the plate. Last year out of JUCO, you could see he was struggling to make adjustments, came on late in the year, but he's got great power, but it's learning where those pitches are and which ones to lay off of, and having the confidence to take the walk here or there.
Is he related to the Schimpf that played at LSU? You don't see many Schimpfs out there.
Yeah, that is his. That's his older brother.
Wow, very good, very good. Damon Sundy, kind enough to join us. How's my mower, Matt Reiser, holding up through all this? I know it's been a trying year for Tony Robichaux with injuries and all, but how does Matt feel about his club right now, particularly in conference play?
Feels good. And on top of things heading the way they're supposed to now at the right time, we also sitting with three extra games to play. Southland Conference, you have an off week in conference.
Okay.
Everybody does because of an odd number of teams. Southeastern's was the second weekend. So sitting at one point this weekend in first place by virtue of winning percentage.
Gotcha.
Now a game and a half back, but you've got three games more to play than the team that you're chasing at the top in Sam Houston State, who you also get later in the year at your place kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's a good feeling right now.
Damon Sundy, kind enough to join us. Cody Gross seems to be, he's your only other hitter hitting over 300. Tell me about Cody.
He is a spark plug. And it was funny, he missed the first two games of the year this weekend. And Saturday, the bats came on a couple of big innings. And you're able to overcome the lack of his presence in the lineup, but definitely missed it on Sunday in the 4-2 loss. He leads the Southland Conference in steals, and he's just a guy that finds a way to get on base. And when he gets on base, he's got the speed to be able to take an extra bag. Very smart base runner. He's just one of those guys that you look to as a leader, and he's, you know, very solid in the field. So it was strange not having him in there over the weekend for a couple of ball games.
16 stolen bases out of 22 attempts, by far the most attempts of anybody on the team. So he must have the green light to go whenever he feels like it. But if I know about Matt Reiser, much like Tony Robichaux, they're fundamentally sound. They don't beat themselves, and they get after it, man. There's not a clean uniform left in the lineup when the game is over.
No, and that's the guys that, you know, he tries to find when going out recruiting. Those are the kind of guys they're constantly looking for. They're looking for the athlete. They're looking for the guy that is willing to sacrifice their body, play hard, get dirty, and it's just a mentality that runs through the entire ball club.
Gotcha. All right, I have every guest I ask this week, I'm going to ask them the same question. The Final Four, you're a basketball guy. You love it. You know it. So you got Auburn versus Virginia. You've got Texas Tech, Michigan State. Who you got playing in the finals?
Maybe Auburn, Michigan State.
Ooh. And who does – you see, I equate Bruce Pearl to the version of the late Jim Valvano. Does he pull out a Wittenberg to Lorenzo Charles at the end and win one and shock the world?
I don't know. At this point, I would probably give it to Tom Izzo's bunch just for sake of experience.
Okay.
But you never know. You never know.
All right. You're right. Damon Sunday, we go back a long ways, my friend. Thank you for your time and safe travels today. And,
thank you, sir.
Have a great game tonight and have a great game in Hammond tomorrow. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. That's Damon Sunday with the latest on the Southeastern Lions as the Raging Cajuns try to right this ship. It's been a rocky, tumultuous road through the season with injuries. They're now 13-16 overall, 4-5 in league play, coming off of a 2-2 week. So we'll see. Picture to be determined, and that's always kind of interesting. This will be the 118th all-time meeting between the two programs, with the Raging Cajuns leading it 66-51 under Tony Robichaux as the head coach. The Cajuns are 22-16 against the Lions, including a 13-5 winning mark in Lafayette. So stay tuned. Baseball at the Teague tonight. When we come back, we'll shift gears. We're heading up to West Lafayette, Indiana. Yeah, that's the home of Purdue. They're not in the Final Four, but our next guest, alma mater, is. We'll talk hoops with David Ching next.
Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hoffberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
And welcome back. Yes, we're closer to the Final Four with Virginia. Just in the game of the tournament when they beat Purdue. Virginia will take on Auburn, of course, and Michigan State will take on Texas Tech. The highs and lows of college basketball. No one went through it more than our next guest. Heck, he's an Auburn grad, but he works up in West Lafayette, Indiana, home of the Purdue Boilermakers, so he felt the heartache of the Boilermakers losing in overtime to Virginia, but then the euphoria of watching Auburn get through Kansas, then North Carolina, then Kentucky. Of course, we're talking about our good friend, senior contributor, writer to Forbes, and just a sports junkie, Mr. David Ching. David, how you holding up, buddy?
That's quite an introduction there, Jordy. Thank you, man. I'm doing good.
It's true, though, right? I mean, my gosh.
Yeah. It was quite a 24-hour period there watching. I mean, Purdue had the game won, and the way they lost it, that was incredible. But the one that really hits me is Auburn. Like, I've only been at Purdue for a little over a year.
Right.
I was an Auburn fan in the womb, so they about gave me a heart attack in their first game when they really blew it against New Mexico State. But they have really been outstanding since then. It's been something to watch.
Bruce Pearl's the newest version of the late Jim Valvano to me. Just coaches emotionally. Coaches with his heart, and just lets him go play.
Yeah, and he's also had his run-ins with the NCAA.
Yes.
Continue the Jimmy V comparison.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, Jordy, man. I've watched those guys probably almost every single game their last two seasons, And when they are playing well, when those threes are falling, you're not going to find a more entertaining team to watch in the country than they are.
Yeah.
They're energetic and fun, and they have personality, and they play 10 guys, and they seem to be having a good time. It's a really, really fun team to watch.
They are absolutely a reflection of their coach. You know who would be really good on their team? Carson Edwards. My goodness. How good would he fit in with them?
I mean, he would be perfectly. The only thing is, he shoots so much. He's a volume guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you look at the guys on Auburn's roster, you're probably the most you're going to see somebody shoot most games is 10 to 12 shots, and that's not really Carson's game. So he needs to have the ball in his hands to be of optimal, effect. Yeah. And I don't know how well that would fit at Auburn, but it would sure be fun to see him bombing threes on the perimeter for him.
I don't know how Purdue got a kid from Atascocita, Texas. First of all, I probably am not pronouncing it correctly, but I've never heard of Atascocita, Texas before in my life.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he probably follows a similar pattern to most of the kids that they get. Pretty sharp, probably not super highly recruited. He's only, 6'1"? I mean, 6'1" shooting guards are a dime a dozen. And obviously they found one that is a little bit more than a dime a dozen, but most of the guys they get are just smart kids that are willing to buy into the system that Matt Painter runs. They're not really getting the elite five-star kids most of the time.
I love Matt Painter. I'm surprised. I mean, like a UCLA doesn't come a-calling. Have you heard any rumble? I mean, he's really a good coach.
Yeah, he went to Purdue. He was on Gene Cady's staff here in the 90s after he played. It may be one of those deals where it's kind of like home to him. But, yeah, I mean, and if you listen to him in a press conference, you can't help but love the guy. He's one of those people. I tweeted this not long ago. He reminds me a lot of Mark Richt, who I covered at Georgia.
Okay.
He's just one of those people that radiates doing things the right way, you know, and in the field that he coaches in, I'm sure you're aware of this story. There's not a whole lot of those guys.
No. That's one of the reasons why I was calling you, because you were here during and you were covering the whole Les Miles saga with everybody in the world, including Les, knew he was gone. And then somehow F. King Alexander pulled the rug out of Joe Oliva from under his feet and said, no, 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 we can't do it. And he got another year under his belt. And now you've been from afar watching this Will Wade scenario. I would love your perspective on what you think about this whole thing.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're Joe Oliva and King Alexander, the guy hasn't agreed, at least as far as I know, he hasn't agreed to come in and talk to him.
That is correct.
I mean, at the end of the day, what that is insubordination, and that's a fireable offense. I think that's what's eventually going to happen to him, and it's probably merited. If he had come in and talked to him, and I understand his reservations about doing it with an investigator in the room, however it worked out, if he was able to sit down and talk to them and actually discuss his involvement in it to their satisfaction, I don't think too many people nationwide would have had an issue with LSU continuing to let him coach until this reaches some kind of resolution within NCAA. But his refusal to do that really left them with no option, in my opinion, other than to do what they did. And I know it's unpopular with people in Louisiana, but I think that's the only thing they could have done.
Did LSU make a mistake by saying, come on in, but we're going to have the NCAA here with us? What if they just said, Will, hey, this is Joe F. King. Come talk to us. It might have been a whole different scenario.
I think so. I don't know what the rationale behind that was. I'm not privy to what the reasoning behind that being a stipulation was. There may have been no other option. I don't really know. But if it were possible for them to have met with him without that person being there, and he still said no, you know, I mean, that's obvious. But it would have been interesting to see what they did if he had asked for that and they were willing to grant it without having an investigator there. I just don't know what the thinking behind that was. I haven't asked Joe either, so I don't know.
Oh, he's not going to tell you anything anyway. But David Ching kind of talked to us. You know, we mentioned Bruce Pearl, and everybody around here saying, well, Bruce Pearl didn't talk, and he's still coaching, but that's not really the case, is it? I mean, according to reports, he has spoken one-on-one with the president of the university. Maybe he didn't go through the athletic director, but he talked to the president. Maybe the president heard what he wanted to hear, and he's still coaching.
He did eventually talk. You're right. I mean, it took time for him to do it, but it was a matter of several weeks, if not months, that he did it. But he did do it. And I think one distinction that people that try to make those comparisons aren't acknowledging, it was Chuck Person. It was an assistant coach that was a person that was caught up in that FBI investigation that was arrested and all that. It wasn't Bruce Pearl. It wasn't his voice on an FBI wiretap trying to buy players.
Yes.
I mean, it's a different person. It's not exactly the same. They're to some degree, apples and oranges, even though they do concern the same general topic.
And the whole scenario now is nobody knows what's going on. And LSU's in a very difficult position because I do believe they want Will Wade to be their coach. Will Wade won't talk to him. He's going to have his day in court, supposedly, April 22nd. Meanwhile, what do you do with your current players? What do you do with your current assistant coaches? What do you do with recruits? I mean, it's just, I've never, in all the craziness that surrounded LSU, and there's been a ton of it that you know of, this tops them all.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that it goes on for too much longer than, you know, the end of the month, if the latest, where you have to move on as a program and either stick with your guy or move on. And I mean, I can't imagine that he doesn't get fired, but, you know, I've certainly been wrong before. What do I know?
I'm curious, that's a basketball crazy area, Purdue. I know they had Drew Brees and all that, but man, they love their basketball. What is the perception? You talk to people around there, they come up and ask you, I'm sure they ask you, is Louisiana all a swamp or stuff like that? But what is their perspective of all this from people that you talk to?
About the Will Wade thing or just Louisiana in general?
Louisiana, LSU, athletics, the Les Miles thing, the Will Wade thing. What do they think?
Well, I think Big Ten people in general, and probably rightfully so, just view things that happen in the SEC as being crooked. And, I mean, I kind of agree with them. They kind of are. I mean, there's certainly a lot more of an academic, flavor here. Like, there's more of an emphasis on the higher education side of college and less on the athletic side. You know, I think it's refreshing in a lot of ways, but as a sports writer, obviously, working somewhere where people care so much was a lot of fun. So I think they probably view it as a little bit of a wild, wild west scenario down there, and not just LSU, but the SEC in general. And, I mean, you know, that's a pretty true perception, I think.
Okay. All right. How is it writing for Forbes, my friend? I mean, that's hotty-totty, man. Come on.
Well, you know, it's a way to keep my hand in it, and it's fun. They let me do pretty much whatever I want to do for the most part, which I appreciate. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, you're terrific at what you do. And what's terrific is who's going to gain the most monetarily of these final four coaches, according to the whatever stipulations are in their contract, whoever wins it, who's gonna reap the most benefits?
Yeah, you know, I read about that today, Jory. I guess you probably saw that.
I didn't see that.
Tony Bennett from Virginia has a contract that is just loaded with performance bonuses, and I think he still stands to gain somewhere like $600,000-$700,000 more if Virginia were to win the national championship and if he were to win National Coach of the Year. I think, you know, right now, if you were going to bet on both of those things, he's the favorite to do both. So he's the guy that has the most to gain, but they all Tom Izzo is the least to gain, and he still has a chance to win. I think it's more than $200,000 that he could get in bonuses. And then Bruce Pearl and Chris Beard from Texas Tech are both in between Bennett and Tom Izzo, but you're talking about six-figure bonuses for all four of them based on what happens next.
You know who's sitting in the catbird seat and smiling like a Cheshire cat is one John Calipari. He's got them all beat. Lifetime, baby. Lifetime. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and then, you know, once he finishes coaching, whenever that is, ambassador for life.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he better hope he doesn't get put on probation.
Ching, we're in the wrong business, man.
I'd say that all the time, man.
Golly, sakes alive. All right, I got to get your you saw Virginia up close and personal. What a game that was. Game of the tournament as far as I'm concerned. We saw Michigan State handle LSU and then beat Mike Krzyzewski's team. Texas Tech has really gotten really, really good. And your Auburn Tigers, if they shoot the ball, man, they can beat anybody. So who do you like? Take your heart out of it. Who do you like?
Well, I mean, I guess Virginia. You know, I think Auburn is very capable of beating them. I feel better about Auburn's chances going into that game than I did Kentucky or North Carolina, to be honest.
Okay.
Just from watching, Virginia has one big guy that really plays much, and then they have the Salt kid that comes off the bench or has started coming off the bench that is a post. But, you know, they play a bunch of guards, and that plays right into what Auburn wants to do. I don't think their guards are probably smarter than Auburn's guards, but I don't think they're any more talented. Auburn's hitting those threes, they're very much capable of winning that game. So I think it comes down to whether they can take care of the ball and force turnovers, which they're really exceptional at doing, and hit some outside shots. If they can, they're going to win.
Yeah.
That other one, I don't know, man. I think Texas Tech is great. I've watched Michigan State probably five or six times this year, and Purdue absolutely drilled them when they played them here. So, I mean, they're beatable, but Tom Izzo's teams are tough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be an absolute just stand in the middle of the ring and throw haymakers fight against Texas Tech. It's going to be a great game.
I always say this, and I don't know if people believe me, but you move these venues from basketball arenas – to these massive football complexes, and they configure it much better now than they have before, but it's still a whole new shot line, sight line, and boy, players got to get used to that, got to get a lot of shot ups before games and get used to it, and it really does affect these teams that like to shoot the three a lot. But heck, I mean, I think Virginia's concept plays right into what Auburn wants. That pack line defense wants to keep the ball out of the lane, and Auburn says, fine, just let us keep shooting threes. We'll live with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think it is a fascinating matchup. I mean, it's going to be a fun game. I was telling somebody the other day, like, I never really even, like, as an Auburn fan growing up, I never even really dreamed of Auburn playing in the Final Four, because Auburn just stunk at basketball my whole life, for the most part, with a few years of exceptions. Yeah. So, like, it's not something that I've ever really, like, thought very much about and dreamed of or anything as somebody that has followed Auburn my whole life. But them getting there is pretty incredible. And the way they've gotten there by beating the teams they've beaten, I just never would have ever anticipated that in my life. It's been fun as a person that takes off the sports writer hat and just enjoys watching their alma mater play well.
Well, you did what Alabama's never done, big guy. You got to the Final Four. So Peacock all the way from West Lafayette, Indiana. The best to your bride. Always fun talking to you, buddy, and we greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Jordy. I always like talking to you, man.
You take care. David Ching, senior contributing writer to Forbes, covering all kinds of sports, and his Auburn Tigers in the Final Four. Tomorrow, longtime Auburn head coach, now the color analyst on the Auburn Radio Network, Sonny Smith, is going to join us. How about that? All right, we're back to wrap up hour number one next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfer Show on 103.7 The Game.
53 minutes after the hour. Welcome back, and bye-bye to the Alliance of American Football. Apparently, after 8 weeks of games and less than one season into its existence, they're suspending operations. These are multiple reports confirming this. They've been struggling from the outset. It's all about money or lack thereof. Even, you know, they couldn't make payroll after the first week, so Tom Dundon, the owner of the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes, pledged a $250 million investment and essentially became the league's owner. At the time, the league shot down reports that it needed money to stay afloat. They said there was an issue with the payroll company the league was using. However, that's really not the case. There's been lawsuits filed. There's all kinds of things, and sitting back laughing through it all is Vince McMahon, who is going to restart his own league, scheduled to launch next year. All kinds of problems with the AAF, all kinds of this. They still had pretty good viewership and pretty good ratings, between 400,000 and 500,000 viewers tuning in for games. They got a bump in attention after Johnny Manziel signed last month and was allocated to Memphis. But Manziel offered some advice to AAF players on Twitter today. He says, quote, "If you're an AAF player and the league does dissolve, the last check you got will be the last one that you get. No lawsuit or anything else will get you your bread, save your money, and keep your head up. It's the only choice at this point unless something drastic happens." Continuing, Manziel, for whatever it's worth, said, "Just the reality of this unfortunate situation. Great concept, good football on the field, fun for the fans to watch, just not enough money to go around, which has been the main problem with other leagues for a long, long time." Pro Football Talk, first to report that the league would suspend operations. So we'll see. People don't want to see castaways and leftovers. I've said that from day one. They want to see the best of the best. Who cares about, I'm sorry, do you really want to see Zach Mettenberger play? Honestly, can't make it in the NFL. Why are you going to watch him? I mean, you got to be really, really, really a fanatic to watch that. You got to be a fanatic to watch minor league baseball. Who, unless it's your son. I mean, seriously, who wants to watch that? Who wants to watch early tennis matches that doesn't include Federer or Nadal or Djokovic? Nobody. Nobody cares. They want to watch the best of the best. That's what it's all about. With something on the line. Good luck, XFL. Okay, how much money Vince McMahon has? You start losing money, and you're going to shut down. You are. Who wants to watch He Hate Me? I mean, it's got a catchy name, but who cares? You're never going to play in the league. That's why the NFL is so great. It's the best of the best. The NBA, the best of the best. Major League Baseball, NHL, pros, baby, pros, the best. So goodbye, Alliance of American Football. It was intriguing for a minute, and it's gone. Vince McMahon, think about it. Think about it. I don't know. All right, hour number one's history. Coming up, Hot Topics. Lynn Rollins will join us to talk LSU baseball. Barry Booker on Jerry Stackhouse to the Commodores, and much, much more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports. That's why I don't care about the spring game for LSU football. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. They're not going to show you anything. I want to see when they play for keeps. Then it's great. We'll be back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Oh, we're number two of two on a beautiful Tuesday, April the 2nd, the year 2019. Thanks for dialing us up wherever and however you're listening to us. We greatly appreciate it. CD back in the 237 Roof Studios, stirring the drink with the stick that makes it all sound perfect. Yes, indeed. Busy second hour planned for you and yours, so let's get cracking right away as we do each and every day at this time of day. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Well, Steve Spurrier, CD's back up to his old tricks. He said, if this is it, we're the champs in Orlando. We're 7-1. Everybody else was the next best record was 5-3. So we're the champions.
Hang up the banner, Jordy.
How about Spurrier? Yes, indeed. Put it on the resume.
Exactly, Jordy. He's going to be the next head coach somewhere. The XFL's first head coach announced. Yes. It's been Bob Stoops and Steve Spurrier running things in the XFL 2020. Beautiful. I want to start things off a little bit differently, Jordy, because this news popped up not long after we wrapped up, but this is not an April Fool's joke that popped up yesterday. There's a bill in the Louisiana Senate right now to redesignate I-10, and they're going to rename it potentially the Who Dat Highway. I love it, Jordy. How about you?
I am absolutely intrigued by it, and I'm all for it. Who Dat Highway? All for it.
That would be awesome, Jordy. Like, way to just completely embrace it. It basically would be from the Texas state line to the Mississippi state line, all Who Dat Highway.
I love it.
That is just fantastic right there, Jordy.
I love it.
And now, we talked a little bit about it yesterday as well. We got might as well follow up on it. Is the big news about John Calipari, his contract, it is now official, like a referee with a whistle.
Sweet.
He officially has everything secured, ready to go. Actually, Calipari, he actually talked a little bit about that lifetime contract he's got with the UK.
This is a situation and a culture that's taken time to build. And where else would I want to coach? Now, there are people that call at the end of every year. But the reality of it is this has been in the works for a while.
That's amazing, hearing that it's been in the works for quite a while. I mean, mind you, like the talent that he's been able to get at Kentucky, that's been almost been a pipeline to New Orleans, but it's just been impressive to see what he's been able to do over the years at Kentucky. But I still am skeptical, Jordy, if it's actually 100% lifetime contract, or is it until he starts underperforming?
Well, I have to read the verbiage. Look, he. I'm sure there's verbiage in there that if he is subject to an NCAA violation, all that is null and void. So we'll see if Cal can keep getting those McDonald All-American players because he's got to think about his future now. But I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, wow, good for him. Good for him. I guess Kentucky's like, you know, who else are we going to get? I mean, who – this guy keeps winning. Maybe he doesn't win national championships every year. He's only won one, but we're always in the hunt with Cal. Who's gonna do better? So good for him. Smart by Kentucky, but just keep your nose clean, Cal, and you'll be all right.
Jordy. Exactly. Keep the nose clean. Don't be caught on any wiretap. Even though I think he's learned by now to not do that. He definitely knows how to handle things a little bit better than what we've seen in Baton Rouge. But looking ahead to the Final Four, Jordy, I know we've still got a lot of storylines to break down, but Tom Izzo, he said that he needs an NCAA title to validate his career at Michigan State University. You agree with that sentiment, Jordy?
Wow. Well, you know, he's got one, right? I don't know. You know, he's Mr. March, but I'm sure he feels like he needs to get more than he's got. So yeah, if he says it, let's go. I'm all in with it. So why not? He's really a good coach.
He really is, and he mentioned it before the LSU game that he's kind of the last guardian of college basketball, the last bastion of college basketball done the right way. Maybe that was a little
shot at Coach K, a shot at Roy Williams, a shot at Bill Self. Wow.
Yes, so that right before the Sweet 16 matchup against LSU, so definitely he was kind of calling a shot here, and it'd just be fantastic to see Tom Izzo get that, and I have to agree. I think it definitely he needs it to validate his career, especially with how things have gone with Michigan State the last couple of seasons, both on, off the court, on campus, everything in between. I think that this would be a one shining moment, Jordy.
Yeah. If he wins it, does he call it quits, you mean? Nah.
Nah, I'm just saying like that one shining moment. I was making a March Madness pun there, Jordy.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah.
I'm waiting
for it. I set my DVR. I record it every year.
Every
year.
Man, you got to think Tremont Waters is going to be in that highlight reel, right, Jordy?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, last one here, Jordy, because we got to make some room for our next guest. And trust me, we got some good stuff coming up in hour number two. But I got to talk about the New York Yankees, Jordy, because not only do they have Giancarlo Stanton out on the injured list, but apparently Miguel Andujar, he could be very well out for all of 2019 with a shoulder injury. Are the Yankees already out of contention right now?
No, indeed. Just hang in there, baby. They'll make a deal or two. They'll figure out something. They're all right. They're okay. All right? What do you think?
That sounds like a plan, Jordy. Hopefully they can wind up bouncing back. That being said, my Astros not too bad right now. Yes, they lost 3-4 to the Rays. But, man, they looked good last night. Robinson Chirinos, revenge on the Rangers.
That's because Leonard Fournette paid a visit.
Yes.
I'm all fired up. So you see how that Tiger thing works.
Hold that Leonard Tiger.
Fournette. Roll that Tiger. There you go. All right, there's your Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. The Biard family right there in St. Martinville doing it right for nearly 90 years. Great product. Great stuff. Best hot sauce around. Bring a small bottle with you wherever you go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. We'll head out to Alec Box Stadium, Skip Berkman Field, Lynn Rollins. He'll be on the call of tonight's game between LSU and Grambling. Have the Tigers turned the corner? We'll find out next. Time, yes, indeed. LSU baseball taking on Grambling. It's throwback night, and nobody better to talk about LSU baseball than my good friend and the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Lynn Rollins, who'll be on the call of the game on the SEC Network Plus today. And it's been a while since I talked to my main man. Lynn, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, Jordy. I thought it was appropriate that you're calling me on throwback night. There's no real connection there, right?
No way. Be honest. Would you rather be calling a baseball game or fishing for something in one of the beautiful lakes and ponds of this great state we live in? Come on now.
That's a tough one. How about baseball tonight and the other tomorrow?
There you go. And the LSU baseball team came into this season. Everybody was like, man, they're number one in the country. No lower than number two in the country. Just like anything else, on paper is one thing, on the field's another. They've struggled here and there, but have they righted the ship? What did that Mississippi State series tell you?
Well, it certainly was an absolutely necessary victory for LSU. And, you know, Jordy, the number one thing in baseball is even more murky than softball than football or basketball. I never was enthralled by the LSU offense coming into the season.
Okay,
that my opinion hasn't changed much. I think there are some two or three pretty regular outs in that lineup, and sometimes this is a team that plays with six or seven innings offensively as opposed to nine. The pitching was not a concern of mine prior to the season. It became one early, but I think there's enough of that pitching staff that has straightened itself out. But I to answer your question, yes, the win against Mississippi State State was absolutely necessary. And by the way, as you know, LSU has owned Mississippi
yes.
State out of the
yes.
last 14 years.
Amazing.
LSU has won the series 13 times. That's remarkable against a good ball club.
No question about that. We got the news that Daniel Cabrera has a wrist problem. He won't play either tonight against Grambling or Wednesday against South Alabama, but they expect him, they hope, that he'll be back on Friday. So without Cabrera, you get DiGiacomo out in the outfield, a freshman who they've raved about. They really like him. So maybe there's not that much of a drop-off there. I don't know.
Well, Daniel Cabrera certainly brings the long ball option to the offense much more than the freshman DiGiacomo. But DiGiacomo can go get it. He's another left-handed batter. They really think highly of him. When they recruited him, Jordy, they thought he was going to be the starting center fielder. They had no
right.
idea Zach Watson was not going to go pro last year. So DiGiacomo was penciled in as the starting center fielder as a freshman. That's how much they think about him. But I think it's time for DiGiacomo to shine. I think either in the field or the designated hitter spot. And if C.J. Willis can get going, he got his first start the other day against Mississippi State, performed well offensively. If he can get going, all of a sudden there are a few more options for this LSU team. But Cabrera's a loss of Cabrera for any length of time would be considerable. And he also hits left-handed pitching pretty well.
Yeah. Lynn Rollins, kind enough to join us. This is no knock on this young man. But if you had told me what are the odds of Clay Moffitt starting a game for LSU as a pitcher, I'd have said zero. But here he is. He'll be on the mound tonight. Is it because he's earned it, or is it because there's so many pitchers that are hurt?
Well, I think a little bit of both. He actually has pitched very well in limited action this year, very, very well. And he was kind of a guy who was just going to be used to eat up some innings in a game where perhaps it was more or less decided one way or another. That was his role last year. But he's made great strides. Is he going to be in the starting rotation from here out? No. Is he in the starting rotation tonight because they play tomorrow as well in the makeup
yeah.
game against South Alabama? Yes. So you're not going to see Clay Moffitt get a lot of starts. They'd love to have him eat up three or four, maybe five innings if possible tonight, just to save everybody. It's going to be pitcher mm-hmm. by committee for the next couple of nights with Texas A&M coming into town.
Yeah, A&M has got to be the surprise team of the league at 6-2-1. They had that old travel curfew thing against Missouri. They had to stop the game tied up. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe all that. But sets up a pivotal weekend series. And look, despite all the trials and tribulations, LSU's right there knocking on the door in the West.
Well, it is, and we've seen this many, many times. This can be a frustrating team to watch, and just a few days ago, there were a whole lot of gaps that people were identifying, and I think rightly so, in this baseball team. The offense, about which I've already spoken, the instability of the pitching staff, but this baseball is an odd duck, and
yeah.
it is a long season. Everybody knows that, and I hate to even say it; it's so cliche. But the things can get righted in baseball, or you can go the other way in a hurry too. So,
sure.
Paul Mainieri's really good about finding the guy by feel that he thinks is going to be able to make a difference in the lineup. He's not a guy who's going to stand pat if things are going bad. And if you're on that team, you're going to get a chance to play and play regularly if you can perform.
A.K.A. C.J. Willis, right? I mean, what
Indeed.
An opportunity. I mean, he just seized the moment.
Well, Willis was recruited as a catcher from North Louisiana.
Yep.
Had that injury last year as a senior. That set him back. I'd like to see him get an opportunity behind the plate. I saw him in high school. He's really good. And obviously can swing the bat, too. So I know when LSU was recruiting him and he was healthy before his physical problems, they thought they had a real find in him. I mean, he was considered one of their jewels in the recruiting class. So we'll see if that potential can be developed.
Speaking of seizing the opportunity, is there a better story in college baseball than Chris Reed?
No,
think
not.
About it. It's amazing.
No, there's not. Chris Reed was co-SEC Player of the Week this week for his work last week. Chris Reed is hitting well over 300 against SEC pitching. Everybody knows the story of Chris Reed, how he was dismissed. That's not the, that has a bad connotation. The numbers caught up with him. He was not put on the roster between last year and this year. And then, of course, Palmieri saw that he had an opportunity to put Chris Reed back on the roster. They had a conciliation you know, it's been wonderful. I mean, Chris Reed does a lot of things well. Number one, he's a battler. Number two, he's got a tremendous on-base percentage. His eye at the plate is phenomenal. Not going to hit a lot of home runs or anything like that, but he's a ball player. He's a college ball player. And every team needs a Chris Reed.
Absolutely. If they had more of them, I don't think their record would be what it is. I think it'd be heading northward. But, he is one of those kind of players that every coach wants to have. Tough question, but since you do both of them, who's going to have the more successful season when it's all said and done? Beth Tarina's softball team or Palmieri's baseball team?
That's a really good question. I'm going with softball.
Okay.
This team is hitting well over 300 right now. They've already crossed the midway point of the season. I don't think LSU has ever had a team in softball this deep into a season hitting over 300. Jordy, it's a team that's already got considerably more home runs than it did all of last year. It's got more base hits than it did all of last year. It's got more runs scored than it did all of last year. So the offense, with the addition of Amanda Sanchez, but not only her. Now, she's been the headliner, of course. But Elise Thorndeal, who never hit a home run, had never started a whole lot of games in her life, has five or six home runs now and is a regular outfielder. You've got Shamaya Sanchez, who had nine home runs total coming into her senior season. She's hit 10 this year. So, you know, those kind of stories. Michaela Slotman was not good offensively last year behind the plate. She's hitting over 300 with power. And it goes on and on. There have been a lot of contributors offensively that have made a tremendous difference, and there are very few weak spots in this offensive lineup.
Lynn Rollins, the Hall of Famer, he'll be on the call of the LSU Grambling game tonight. You've been around LSU a long, long time, and I'm just curious as to your thoughts. Football, pretty good. Basketball reached really, really good heights. Gymnastics, going for a possible national championship. Softball rink, baseball rink. Has there been a better collective season in your book?
You know, probably not. When you factor in
track and field, golf, everybody
accomplishments of Mondo Duplantis, who any day could possibly set a college pole vault record. The women's track team is very, very good with Hobbs, the sprinter, one of the best in the land ever.
Yeah.
And, I think you're right, Jordy. You know, the specter of what happens over the men's basketball program is a large one. And I feel concerned and sorry and a bit helpless for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that no matter what happens with the situation, that a fairly quick response and a fairly quick conclusion is reached. Because right now, there are a whole lot of questions and no answers.
Yeah, and nobody's talking, and I'm not so sure that's the best thing out there for the loyal fan base that is craving for something. And I've got to believe that if ducks are in a row, Joe Oliva is going, okay, here's plan A. We want to keep Will Wade, but if that's not possible, I've got to believe he's working the phones and getting some inquiries out there to potential coaches, because if not, you have no recruiting, you have no players, you have nothing. And that's the conundrum that they face.
You are in a maelstrom with no life buoy to jump onto.
Yeah.
But Joe Oliva has taken a lot of criticism. I don't understand why, quite honestly. I mean, there are three choices as I see it with the scenario. One choice is the LSU Athletic Administration firmly and loudly backs it's men's basketball coach. We're behind this guy no matter what may have happened, and until proven otherwise, we're gonna stand behind him. That's one choice.
That's one.
The other choice is he did not speak to the administration. He apparently has not opened up at all about what may or may not have happened, and therefore we've got no choice other than dismiss him. The third choice is what Joe Oliva picked, and I think it's the right choice at this point, and that is an indefinite suspension until the facts of the case, whatever case may be made, if any, are eventually known. But, I mean, that's it. I don't understand the anger over Joe Oliva's decision. I mean, Joe Oliva, in my opinion, made the best Division I men's basketball hire 2 years ago in the country when he hired Bill Wade. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to suspend him. He doesn't want to fire him. He doesn't want to take action against the guy that he recruited and then brought LSU in 2 years to a place of national prominence. That's the last thing he wanted to do. So, you know, it's very difficult for everybody involved.
Very well said, my friend. We'll have a good call of the game tonight. Let's go back to more pleasant, fun things. Let's see if LSU can string some wins together and get ready for Texas A&M. But we look forward to your call with, I would imagine it's Ben McDonald. He's so busy these days. All right, well, good. So that ought to be fun. That's must-listen-to broadcast baseball. So appreciate the time, Hall of Famer. Always fun, man. Let's get together soon.
Well, that would be my pleasure, and I do so enjoy your show. It is tremendous. It's relevant. The guests you have, other than me, are extraordinary, and also the time I've spent with you, wonderful times sharing a basketball broadcast, have been some of the most fun in my career. So, indeed, let's do this again soon.
You got it, my friend. Take care. Safe travels. Bye-bye. Lynn Rollins. He is the voice of LSU, no question. Calling the game, LSU Grambling on the SEC Network Plus. We'll take a timeout. SEC basketball hires. We should all be John Calipari. Barry Booker next. As the Final Four approaches, this is the time of year when coaches convene in Minneapolis, and those that are looking for jobs or athletic directors that are looking for basketball coaches to fill a vacancy, they all convene and they have meetings and they talk and they discuss, and there's a lot of opportunities within the Southeastern Conference to fill some positions, although a couple have been rectified, but Barry Booker of the SEC Network up in Nashville, Tennessee, kind enough to join us. Barry, good day, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Jordy, good to get to be with you again, man.
Well, my Vanderbilt Commodores look like they're heading to Tobacco Road, and I keep hearing this name, Jerry Stackhouse, the longtime NBA player. And he's been coaching in the G League. He's been an assistant in the NBA. It looks like, is that the direction the Commodores are going?
That is sure what it sounds like. You know, the reports are that they are in negotiations about a contract. So I would guess that they're going to arrive at a conclusion to that real quickly. And I hear really good things about Jerry Stackhouse and really love his toughness and his approach to the game as a player. So I would think he would be a very attractive candidate as far as the existing players at Vanderbilt and on the recruiting trail, although he doesn't have a lot of experience in the recruiting circles. But I would think he'd be a guy that people would be interested in playing for and wanting to learn from.
Yeah, I was going to ask your opinion of him, and let's go back a little bit further. Were you surprised by the dismissal of Bryce Drew?
I was a little bit surprised, because, you know, the way things have been in the past, a guy in his third year with an NCAA tourney appearance on his resume would get the benefit of the doubt. And I think people would say, all right, well, let's give him one more year to see how things are going to go. But I think it had become so clear that things were going to go poorly next year. And I think the final straw for Bryce Drew was the athletic director talking to the players and quite a few of them saying that they really liked Bryce as a person, thought he was a really good guy, but they weren't pleased with him as a head coach. And quite a few of them were talking about transferring out of the program. I think that is why the decision was made.
Interesting. Very interesting. Barry Booker, kind enough to join us. It must be nice across the way, an arrival of the Commodores, but must be nice to be John Calipari, right? I mean, he's going to get paid as long as he's still breathing by the Kentucky Wildcats. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty strong. I don't know that anyone else has ever had that sort of level of commitment from their university. That just speaks to how well Coach Calipari has performed at Kentucky and continuing to have success with these teams that have been loaded with freshmen. And I think this year was one of the best performances that he has had. As I saw this team in November, and they didn't look very good at all.
No, I agree.
They really came a long way, and he continues just to get his guys to improve, from month to month, much less from year to year. We don't see it from year to year because so many guys move on, but he does a really good job with player development. Coaching defense is another good defensive team at Kentucky. So good to know that he's going to be around this league for the foreseeable future.
Oh, and then there's some of those Kentucky fans that aren't happy and they want him gone. It's just amazing. Who else you want to get, right?
Exactly.
What are you going to do? Who's going to be better?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's easy to say, this guy hasn't lived up to expectations and we should be better than that. At any program in the country, people can make that claim in just about any given year. But then it's like, okay, we got rid of the guy. Oh, my gosh. Now what are we going to do? Who are we going to get? Yeah. And that would be the problem at Kentucky. Who would want to follow Coach Calipari with all the success that he's had and trying to maintain that level, much less make it better? That would be impossible, I think.
Barry Booker, kind enough to join us. Alabama made a quick hire. They had enough of Avery Johnson, and they went to Buffalo and brought Nate Oates in, like, on the next day, it seemed like. what were your initial thoughts on the scenario in Tuscaloosa?
And that was a really quick turnaround. Nate Oates has not been a head coach for very long at Buffalo with Coach Hurley moving out of there not so long ago.
That's right.
But, he's had success. He's done well there. And, man, this league is so competitive. It's going to be so difficult to have success for a new guy coming in, learning how things happen at the Power 5 conference level, which is going to be the case with Coach Oates as well as Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt. So, man, it's going to be a very tall task to come in and compete against the kind of coaches that we have in this league. And in Alabama, the number one thing is you got to beat Auburn. And going up against one of the best in the business in Bruce Pearl, given that the investigations that are going on around that situation don't cause a downfall there. Going to be really interesting to see how well he performs. He could be a really good coach, but just like Avery Johnson, a few years in, and you have a tournament appearance, you're doing okay, but like that commercial goes, okay is not okay anymore.
That's right. Barry Booker, people always ask me, is the SEC a basketball conference? And I say, it absolutely is. And they say, well, why do you say that? I said, because they're starting to treat the basketball coaches like they treat the football coaches. If you don't win quickly, you're gone. And that used to never be the case.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been quite a change over these last few years with the level of coaching improving so much. You look at Arkansas and the success that Mike Anderson has had. It's not to the level that the folks at Arkansas would have liked, but he's had a couple of NCAA tourney appearances in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has great connections with the program and a history with the program. But they decide that they're going to move on, and that's going to be really interesting.
I agree.
Because, man, the expectations are so high, and like we were talking about, the competition in this league is just so very strong, and, you know, you just don't have a ton of players in Arkansas that you can recruit. It's not a very populous state, although the kids who grew up in Arkansas – that name brand is very strong out in Arkansas. So, but man, it's how do you improve on what's been going on there?
Well, they got a taste of it. Nolan Richardson, they were calling the Hogs. They haven't been calling them lately, and that's the problem. So that's a great basketball venue and a great fan base. My goodness gracious! So that'll be an interesting hire as well. You mentioned Auburn. Man, what a run. Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. Now they're in the Final Four, and they face the number one seed in Virginia. What do you think about Bruce Pearl's chances in this one?
Man, I don't think they're very good. Because the injury, that man, without Okiki, Auburn is just so small. They're small with Chuma Okiki, but he is their most imposing player, most athletic big guy for the Auburn Tigers, and when you press Austin Wiley into action, you got some smaller, you know, really small forward types with McLemore and Horace Spencer. So you know, I just don't think they have enough strength inside to handle what Virginia is going to throw at them on the inside. But Auburn, they're going to shoot a bunch of 3-point shots. It's not Virginia's strength that we talk so much about this pack line defense.
Right.
That's designed to force the ball away from the basket. And that's where Auburn wants to go. They want to go to that 3-point line and knock down those jumpers. So Virginia's going to have to adjust their defense, adjust their defensive game plan, and handle Auburn at the 3-point line. And you know Coach Pearl is going to have them sky high and ready to play, do what no program in the state of Alabama has ever done, go to the Final Four and win a game.
Amazing. He is, to me, the closest thing to the late Jim Valvano. He does things differently. He is emotional. He wears it on his sleeve. The players love him. They want to run through the wall for him. Is that a fair assessment?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think that is a very apt comparison. Very charismatic guy, enthusiastic guy, brings that excitement around the program, and he's a winner. So I think that's this could be 83 at North Carolina State, and we could see the Auburn Tigers cutting down the nets next Monday night. It's going to be exciting to see what they can do. And yeah, the 3-point shooting, that was a huge part of what North Carolina State did 35 years ago. So we'll see if Auburn can pull it off.
I'm just looking for Lorenzo Charles somewhere on this Auburn lineup. I don't know if he's around there. I'm dying to get your opinion. He's already a one-name name. He is unlike anything I've ever seen on the basketball court. You've played at the highest of levels. Your assessment of Zion Williamson.
He is a monster. He's going to be so exciting for the team that picks him up. And, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see where he goes, to see if he gets in a situation. Because, man, situation is so critical. How a team and an organization builds around a guy is so important. And the coaching, I mean, you can look at what's happened at Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's been good these last several years. But now, with a different coach in place, he becomes an MVP-caliber player.
Right.
So we'll see where he lands. It's going to be so important whether he can get in a situation where he has another big guy who can compliment him, a big guy who can step out to the 3-point line, stretch the floor to give him room to operate heading toward the basket. I think he's a very good passer, a very unselfish player. So he is a star, a can't miss guy. A lot of people saying he's the best we've seen since LeBron James.
Yeah.
I'd put Kevin Durant probably just a smidge above him as far as the prospects coming into the league. And, you know, the other thing for him is just with the size that he has, with that big body, is he going to be able to stay healthy? Are his joints and legs and knees going to be able to handle the load that he's carrying?
He's something else. He really is. Barry Booker, kind enough to join us. All right, let's get back to the Final Four. Let's get some winners here. We've got the UVA and Auburn in the first game. Then you've got Michigan State versus Texas Tech. Who you got? Who do you like?
Man, I think Texas Tech, the team that is kind of an unknown quantity, but all those advanced metrics, the offensive and defensive efficiency, they have been great defensively all season long. And then the last couple of months of the season, they become one of the best offensive teams in the country. They are no fluke, and I think Michigan State, with their injury issues, they are not the talent-laden club that they could be in the Final Four. So I like Texas Tech to win that game, and I think they match up real well against Auburn. I think they might take Auburn off the court, might blow them away because of their quickness out on the perimeter. But they match up well against Virginia as well. So I'm going to go Red Raiders.
Okay. To win it all. Go ahead. And I got to look, Arkansas's been very, very quiet. And I think there's a reason for that. I think they're going to make a huge run at Chris Beard at Texas Tech to try and bring him into the SEC. I think they'll make a big run, and I think that's who they're targeting. That's my guess on this thing because they've been very quiet.
Well, and it's bad news for them that he is going to the Final Four. Yep. That's just going to make him that much more attractive to any other program in the country that's looking for a coach. And then for Texas Tech as well. There will be strong sentiment for him to stay with this program that he has built up and that he's gotten going. And it's going to be you know, like I said, lots of programs around the country that are going to be after him. He's going to become that much hotter, and especially if things go the way I describe and they win the national title, you know, UCLA and everybody else in the country is going to be after him.
Yeah, who? No, nobody wants to coach the Bruins. What's up with that? Man,
it's difficult out there. It's tough to get attention. You know, it's a pro town. Dodgers, Lakers, and the standard is win 10 national titles over a 12-year period. So kind of hard to live up to that, even though that's been closed in on 50 years ago when John Wooden had that run. That's still what people look for out there, and you know it's just difficult to draw that fan support.
Yeah, there goes your job offer. You forgot to mention Steve Ballmer in the Clippers, so you're out. You're history. You're done. You got to stay in Nashville. I'm sorry. I can think of a lot worse towns to live in, man. All right, so the Red Raiders, guns up in Lubbock. All right, we'll see what happens. I think it's a really good Final Four. I really do. Really good teams in there, good coaches as always, so we'll see where the chips fall. I'm pulling for old Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers, but I just don't know if they can keep shooting it like they have. I just don't know about that.
Yeah, if I like their chances against Virginia. They got a shot in that game, and it will come down to that jump shooting. Yeah. But they better hope it's Michigan State and not the Red Raiders. It'd be even better if Duke was there. You'd love to have that program that everybody's targeting and the big name players, Zion and all that. But it's going to be exciting. And somebody, you know, three out of four will win their first – three out of four of these teams, if they win, it'll be their first national title.
That's right. Look, you and I have shot enough. We know that you're getting these big football stadium backdrops. Shooting percentages tend to waver a little bit for teams that live by the outside shot in those buildings. Second game is okay, but you got to get through the first one. And if Auburn doesn't shoot it well, they got no shot. So we'll see. We shall see. Barry Booker, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for your time, as always, and we greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jordy. Look forward to catching up with you soon.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Barry Booker, the SEC Network, likes the Red Raiders. All right, we'll make our picks later on. But we'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap this baby up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia Exit and Bro Bridge. Everything you need for your travel extravaganza, whether you're heading around town or hitting the highways and byways. I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia Exit and Bro Bridge. DC's Little Capital X on has everything you need. And that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner with the best cheeseburger ever. DC's Little Capital Exxon. On this day in sports history, we go back April 2nd, the year 1985. Oh, I wish they had started this a little bit sooner. But it was on that day that the NCAA adopted the three-point basketball rule, which stated any shot 19 feet, 9 inches, and beyond from the hoop would now count for three. And it's changed the game of basketball for the way better, in my book. No lead too safe because of the rule enacted on this day, April 2nd, the year 1985. If today is your birthday, April 2nd, man, happy birthday from all of us at 103.7 The Game and everyone under the Delta Media umbrella. We hope you have a lot of cake, a lot of ice cream, a lot of presents, and a lot of fun. You share with the likes of former LSU Tiger, now the new head basketball coach of the Newman Greenies, my good buddy Randy Livingston. Happy birthday, Randy. One of the greatest high school players ever. And unfortunately, injuries cut short his career. But he did play in the NBA despite the fact. It was amazing, amazing. So happy birthday, Randy Livingston. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary from all of us to all of you. Special thanks, Damon Sunday, Southeastern, as they're taking on the Ragin' Cajuns. David Ching, Auburn grad, now works for Purdue. He's got one team in the tournament and one team played the best college basketball game of the year in losing to Virginia. Lynn Rollins will play on the call of LSU and Grambling. We appreciate his time. And, of course, Barry Booker of the SEC Network. It was a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed it half as much as we did bringing to you. But it's closing time. Tomorrow, we'll recap LSU Grambling, look ahead to LSU South Alabama, more on the Final Four, and the quest for Zion continues. Come on, Pelicans, make it happen. CD, outstanding job as always. Thanks to all of you for listening, to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until next time, I'm Jordy Hultberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.